If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to first the book of Acts chapter 24, we want to talk about two things this evening very quickly. One would be the sad words spoken and the sad response given. And then we want to end in a positive note, and that'd be the powerful sound words spoken and the victorious response given. As you begin to look in the book of Acts and look at chapter 24 and verses 22 through 26, we have the Apostle Paul before Felix. Begin verse 22, and I want you to notice something here. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, "When Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case." So Paul has presented his case before Felix, and I want you to notice again, Felix heard these things and he had a more accurate, I believe your King James renders that, a more perfect knowledge of the way. What is the way? Well, it's the gospel of Christ that leads us to Christianity. You know that in verse 14, where Paul said, "But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." So Paul actually defines that for us. He was a Christian. He was worshiping in the way that God would have him to worship in the days of in the Christian age. But let's go ahead and skip down to verse 24 very quickly. "And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ." What did Paul do? He was preaching the gospel to him, wasn't he? But let's not stop there. "Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go away for now, and when I have a convenient time, I will call for you.'" How many people have we known that you take the gospel to them and you teach them, and their response is, "Well, not right now. It's not a convenient time for me. I'm a young person. I've got my whole life ahead of me. I've got things to do. And I'll come back. I'll obey the gospel later on in my life when I've gotten all my accomplishments done." But let's go ahead and go a couple of chapters after that to chapter 26. And again, we're going to pick up long about verse 24. And now we have Paul before King Agrippa. It says, "Now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad.' But he said, 'I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" Now listen to what he says. Now this is Paul saying this. "I know that you do believe." Prophets like Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, 44 and 45, that would speak of a kingdom that could not be destroyed by mere man. Verse 28, "Then King Agrippa says to Paul, 'You almost persuade me to become a Christian.'" Oh, what sad words. What sad words. "Almost. I'm real close. You've almost got me there. I'm just about ready, but no, I'm not going to obey the gospel of Christ." And then they live the rest of their life and they die. What a sad commentary. And we think about passages like Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23. "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity.'" Boy, those are some sad and harsh words. And yet that's a reality, isn't it? We have people who are looking for a convenient season. There are people who say, "Well, I've almost obeyed the gospel. I wonder how that's going to work on Judgment Day." It won't. Matthew 25, verse 41, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Who wants to stand before God on judgment day and hear things like that? Depart from me. And like the one talent man, take his talent away from him. Give it to the one who started out with five. And what about that man? Cast him into outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But let's look on a positive side here, because folks, there is a positive side. Go back in Acts chapter 2 and think about the day of Pentecost and how great a sermon that we have recorded for us by the Apostle Peter. And then the men there said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were convicted. They were convinced that they were in sin. They knew that they had a hand, a role in the death of the very Son of God. Man, what are we to do now? They weren't concerned about their 401ks. They weren't concerned about whether or not they would have a great pension with a company somewhere so they could retire. They were concerned about their spiritual condition. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Do you remember what Peter responded on that? You remember what he said? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. But then let's go down to verse 41. What do we learn in verse 41? About 3,000 souls were added that day. You see, that's a proper response, wasn't it? Peter had convinced these people, yes, you had a role in the death of the Christ, the very Son of God. What are you going to do about it? We want to know what to do about it. Here's what you do. And notice that he testified other things. He continued to preach and teach to them. And then we learned that they were baptized and 3,000 souls were added. The plan of salvation was given to them. And they acted appropriately. Look at Acts chapter 8, if you would, and the Ethiopian eunuch. We'll look real quickly along about Acts chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. Acts chapter 8, 35 through 39. Then Peter opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, what scripture was that? Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. And it says that Philip opened his mouth, beginning of that scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And now when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. Now listen, and the eunuch went away rejoicing. He had a reason to rejoice. Think about Acts chapter 10 and Cornelius and his household, and how Peter commanded them to be baptized. Think about the Philippian jailer of Acts 16, verses 25 through 33. The Philippian jailer was ready to put a knife into himself and kill himself, thinking that they had escaped. Oh no, don't do that. We're all still here. And what great repentance was shown on the part of the Philippian jailer when he washed their stripes. And they were baptized. And think about the distinct difference that we read in Matthew 7:23. I never knew you. Depart from me. Or depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. To Matthew chapter 25, 21 and 25. Here taken from the parable of the talents. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. enter into the joy of your Lord. Isn't that what we all want to hear on Judgment Day? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've done well. You went through the trials and tests of life, and it was tough and it was hard at times, but you came through, proved and pure to be my child forever and eternity. Enter in to the joy of your Lord. I don't think there's anybody here this evening who would not say, without a shadow of doubt, that's what I want to hear on Judgment Day. Enter in to the joy of your Lord. Enter in, good and faithful servant. If there's anyone here who has never put your Lord and Savior on in baptism, we ask a simple question. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is Son of God, you're ready to repent of your sins, you're ready to confess the name of Jesus before man, then you're ready to be baptized. You're ready to have your sins washed away, Acts 22:16. To become a child of God, to rise up and walk in newness of life, Romans 6:3-4. The question that we ask then, why are you waiting? Remember, that's exactly what Saul of Tarsus was asked. Why are you tarrying? Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Maybe it is the case that you are a child of God and you're out of step with God's will. You've not been living as God would have you live. You need to come back to God. And come back to Him realizing it must be on His terms. It's the only way we can come back. And you're ready to do that. You're ready to make that decision to come back. You have a whole congregation of people here who love you, care about you, and do not stand in judgment, but stand ready to help you in your journey. But whatever your need may be, just need somebody to study with, to pray with, we stand ready to assist you in whatever way we can. If we can help out, won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song?